Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
All right, we're going to go on a journey together today, and it's going to start in Luke chapter 24. If you're taking notes, I encourage you, whether it's with a pen or on your phone, I encourage you to take notes. That they say we remember it better that way. So you can start in Luke chapter 24. The title of this story is called The Road to Emmaus. Everybody say Emmaus. Emmaus. And it starts off like this. It says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." Verse 15 says this, and this is what I want us to catch today. It says, "So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You see, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know that it was him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' They replied, then one of them whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened here in these days?' And Jesus said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem all of Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived and at the tomb very early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it empty, just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Let me just give you a little bit of context to this story. This is Easter Sunday right now. We all have a good Easter?
Yeah.
Yep, overloaded on chocolate, that's how we roll. But this is Easter Sunday. And so there's these two people walking down the road, and Jesus draws near to them and starts to walk with them, but they don't even know it's him with them. The funny thing is, they start to explain to him all the things that have been happening recently. The fact that there was this guy, he's this powerful guy, but he actually died on the cross. And they're starting to begin to tell Jesus what he just went through. And they're trying to explain to Jesus the crucifixion. Like, "Oh yeah, there's this guy and he died on the cross." And Jesus is like, yeah, sounds painful. In his mind he's going, "Yeah, I was there. I was the guy on the cross." But for some reason, these people's eyes were restrained. They didn't actually know who was walking with them.
Yeah, wow.
Title of my message today is called Walk and Talk. Again, if you're taking notes, write that down. That's nice and poetic so we can remember it. Walk and talk. I want to capture verse 15 again. If we can have it on the screen, that'd be fantastic. Verse 15 and 16. "So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him." You know, when I was much younger, and this was even before the time where kids are old enough to sit in the front seat, I was much younger, and my dad was actually driving us to school. He was meant to be driving us to school, but my brother and I were in the back seat, and it got to the point where he drove all the way to work without dropping us off at school. We were so quiet in the back seat, he actually forgotten that we were with him. In the car with him. And so he's driven all the way from a place called Wattle Glen, it's like near Doreen, all the way to Moorabbin, got to work, got out of the car, locked it, and turned around, his two sons were in the back seat. And he's just like, "What is going on?" But that day, my dad had forgotten that we were with him. I was a little bit cheeky, and I knew that we'd missed the turnoff for school. I'll be honest, I didn't love school. Wasn't my favorite thing, but I just thought, hey, if he takes us all the way to work, he's got to take us all the way back, and we're going to miss first or second period or something, so I get a bit of time off. But the truth is that my dad forgot we were in the car. But so often, I find that we forget Jesus is in our life. We can forget in our everyday life, every moment, with the steps we take, the things we go through, the dreams we have, we forget that Jesus is actually in our life. And we see this story of these two people walking on a road. In other words, they were just doing life. They were journeying. They were going to work. They were raising their family. They were studying. They were just going on the road, not knowing that Jesus had drawn near, not fully understanding that Jesus was with them. Is that making sense? But there's times in our life where, hey, we know God exists and we know that God's out there, but do we know that God is actually walking with us? In every step we take, every move we make, Jesus is walking with us. I find myself having to take a step back sometimes. And actually, hey, Dave, do you know that Jesus, the King of the universe, is walking with you? He's wanting to talk to you every moment, every day. We're on this journey and we sometimes get distracted or sidetracked from the fact that if you want Jesus in your life and in your heart, he's there every moment of every day, walking along whatever road you're walking with you. That's powerful stuff. Now, it says here that they walked for 7 miles and didn't even recognize it was Jesus. These two people had a moment in history. This is the first time anybody actually saw Jesus once he had risen from the dead. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? I mean, Mary and another woman went to the empty tomb. This is the story of Easter. It's a right in season. Obviously, Easter was last week. And they went to the tomb, but they saw that it was empty. They didn't see Jesus alive. Then Peter went back to the tomb, saw the tomb empty. No one had actually seen Jesus yet, but these two had a moment where they could have. But for some reason, their eyes were restrained. They just didn't have this knowledge, this personal relationship with Jesus, knowing that he was here every day. Imagine what Jesus could have done along that 7 miles. The King of the universe, with all the power in the world, all the knowledge in the world, just wanting to do something in your life. They walked with him for 7 miles. And you know, sometimes for 7 days, we forget about Jesus. And this is not me having a go, because I do it myself sometimes, but sometimes 7 hours, we haven't even acknowledged that Jesus is present in our lives. Jesus is present. We wake up, we hit the ground running. And this is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We've got places to go, things to do. But we need to remember, hey, Jesus is walking with us. Not get to the point where we've walked 7 miles. We've had breakfast. We've packed the lunches. We've gone to work. We've done the washing. We've done all these things. We've come home. We've eaten dinner. And by the time we actually say, hey, God, I love you. Or God, be with me. Or God, help me through this situation. We're just saying, hey, God, I want to walk with you. And I want to know that you're with me. Amen? It's almost like they had a blindfold on. Here's something I prepared earlier. It's almost like they had a blindfold on. They could tell Jesus all about Jesus. All the things he'd done. They'd heard all the stories. They might have sung all the songs. But they didn't actually were able to see him in their life every single day. And whether you're walking with God or maybe you're not, you know, we sing the songs, we know of all these things he's done, but sometimes in our everyday life, we're just missing him. Yeah. For some reason, our eyes are restrained. This is risky. I'm doing this for you. And so there's this point in life. Hey there on podcast, if you're watching, good to see you. We're doing life and we're doing good things. We're on a journey, yet our eyes are restrained of all the good things God could be doing. All the things God wants to be speaking to us about. We're on this journey and God is there every single moment of every single day wanting to walk with us, but do we actually recognize it? In the daily grinding, the things we're doing every single day, do we actually know that Jesus is with us? And so there are things we go through. There's the daily struggles we're wrestling through, and we're trying to work our way through. But we're restrained in a sense. This is making sense. And we're going through these health battles and these mental struggles, and we're trying to find our way through our life and through things, and we're doing okay, but to a point we're restrained, because the truth is that we're meant to have Jesus walking with us daily, helping. Yet we're trying to get through all these struggles on our own, trying to guide ourselves, not fully knowing that Jesus is with us. But then there's a point where if we can just reflect every moment of every day saying, God, I'm going to actually walk with you. I don't want to be like those guys on the road to Emmaus. I want to know that you're right by my side. I don't want my eyes restrained at all. God, I want to be as free as ever. And you know what Jesus does? He takes the blindfold off. And so the reality is that Jesus is right there by your side. This is the way we're meant to walk with God. You might not be able to touch him physically, but this is how we walk with Jesus. Not blindfolded, searching in the dark, not knowing what life's going to throw your way. Thanks, buddy. You can go now. God bless Jesus. Knowing that he is with you every step, every moment. And to be honest, this message isn't one of the most complicated, hard to understand messages you will ever hear. So I'm just being quite frank that the reality is, and this will bring so much peace, so much hope, so much direction into your life, if you can just stop every moment of your day and say, Jesus, you are right beside me. Jesus, we are walking together wherever we're going, and I'm excited about it. Yeah, give him a shout of praise. Get rid of the blindfold. If I can get verse 16 back up on the screen, that'd be great. There's this word in there. It says this, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. That word in the Greek is pronounced kano. Is there any Greeks in the house? I can get away with it. In the Greek, it's pronounced kano. Not really. That's just how it sounded out. But that word no, there are two meanings to that word no. You can know of somebody, but then you can know somebody. You can know of somebody and what they've done and who they are and where they live and what, you know. But then there's the no, where you know someone personally. And these two people who were on a journey, just like us, to Emmaus, they knew of Jesus. They heard about the great things he'd done. They heard that he died on the cross and he rose again. They had a pretty good understanding, actually, of who he was. But the truth was, they didn't know him personally. They weren't actually walking with him in their everyday life. And so this, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him personally. Our eyes only become restrained when we don't know God personally. So I'm telling you, you can know as many facts about him. You can have gone to as many church services and sung about him, and all that stuff is great, but the truth is we need to know him personally. And when we know him personally, the blindfold comes off. We know God's in our walk every day. We know he's there with us through the ups, through the downs. In every single moment, we just know that Jesus is with us. Amen? Amen. Scripture, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says this. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him. There's that Greek word again. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Let me tell you why there's so much power in the resurrection. Two things. There's power in the resurrection because if Jesus died but came back to life, it means he's stronger than death. I need you to get that. If he died yet came back to life, it means he's stronger than death. I'd probably say death's the strongest thing going around besides Jesus. Is that making sense? That's why there's power in the resurrection. But you want to know another reason why there's power in the resurrection? Because when we know that Jesus is alive, we can walk with him. It's pretty hard to work with somebody who's dead, who's in a tomb, who's far, far away, that cannot talk to you, that cannot speak to you, that cannot guide you. We're getting this here. There's power in knowing that he's alive because you know that you can walk with him. And you know that every step you take, he is with you. He's alive, he's speaking, he's communicating, he's guiding, he's protecting, he's gifting. That's powerful stuff. So to know him is so important. Not just to know of him, but to know that he is alive, he's in your life, he is walking with you. See, a big part of the journey that these two people were on, I believe a big part of why they didn't understand that was Jesus with them, because they didn't know that he was alive. They'd heard some rumors. They'd thought about it, but they didn't actually know in their heart of hearts that Jesus is alive. That's why we celebrate Easter. He's alive, he is well, and he's in your life. Every moment of every day. I don't know if that brings you peace and comfort, but that brings me joy in my heart, knowing that he's with me every moment of every day. Amen? It's powerful stuff. You know, a lot of people have this idea of God that he's distant, he's behind closed doors, he's not there for us, which is the absolute complete opposite. Our God is the most loving, in our face God you'll ever meet. He just wants to be a part of your life so much. He created you to be a part of your life. That's the point I want to stop at right now. Jesus created you just to be a part of your life. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when he created Adam and Eve, which is just a representation of you and I, he created them so that he could just walk with them. He created mankind to walk with them. And so from Eden to Emmaus, all God has ever wanted to do was walk with his children. That's powerful, isn't it? From Eden to Emmaus to this moment right now in West Meadows. I wish this suburb started with an E, but it just doesn't. From Eden to Emmaus, right now here in this suburb of West Meadows, God just wants to walk with you. Side by side, making you stronger, helping you get to where you need to go. That has been God's plan the whole time. He's not distant. He's not far, far away. He's not ruling from a distant galaxy. He is right in and amongst your world. Your highs and lows, your struggles, your strengths. Our God, our King, wants to walk with us every moment of every day. Let's take hope in that, because that's powerful. Yeah, come on, give him a shout of praise. Sometimes I get a little bit lost. Let's get a little bit more practical here. Sometimes, even in my life, I honestly forget that I've got God with me. I'll level with you. Sometimes I actually forget that I've got the King of the universe. All the power in the world. He knows everything. He wants the best for me, yet I forget he's actually with me. I restrain myself sometimes and go through the stuff I'm going through on my own. Fight battles in my own strength. Try and climb the mountains, good mountains, bad mountains, in my own strength, forgetting that God is with me. My full-time job is actually working at Lifehouse Church, so my job is obviously running church services and preaching messages and catching up with people, making sure people are, you know, growing in their faith. And even in and amongst that, I forget that God is with me. You can laugh at that. That's fine. It's like in and amongst, I'm actually literally building the house of God. Like getting a church service ready, sometimes I just give God the boot. Wow. Not deliberately, but just kind of forgetting that he's with me. And instead of putting me at the forefront, hey, Jesus, what do you want me to do? God, where am I going? Jesus, can you please come with me? God, keep walking with me. Help me through this situation. Help me through this struggle. I find myself even at, you know, the end of the day, I haven't even communicated with God who's with me. The end of the week, finding, hey, I haven't really spoken with God. I'm meant to be walking side by side with him, because I'm on the journey that he set. You're on a journey that God has set for you. Yet we find ourselves just almost, not in a bad way, just saying, no, I don't need God, but just forgetting, getting distracted, caught up in the busyness of life. But I have to remind myself constantly, do this life with God. Be as intentional as you can about doing this life with Jesus. The daily things. At the moment, I'm renovating a house. I do my best as I'm digging trenches and shifting mud. God, thank you for being with me. Jesus, I would love it if you were here in the flesh, because you would dig with me. But right now, I've just got you by my side. God, I just thank you that you're with me. God, I thank you that you're for me. God, I'm going through some stuff right now, but I know that you are with me. Through everyday life, at the desk at work, when you're studying, when you're raising children, every moment, every day is a road to Emmaus where Jesus is walking with you. Come on, that's powerful stuff. You know, we walk around anxious. We walk around lost, worried, fearful. I honestly believe today is the day where we just need to stop it. Because if we truly knew that right by our side was Jesus, anxiety wouldn't be able to hold onto much. Worry would decrease drastically. Fear would be stripped back. Because we know that Jesus is with us. Our God, our King, can do anything, wants to do anything for us. But the truth is that all these things are kind of, maybe not burying us, but we're struggling with these things. We're struggling with worry, fear, anxiety. We're unsure, we're uneasy. But if we just get a knowing in our hearts that God is with us, God is for us. In fact, God goes before us. All those things will start to strip back. I can relate sometimes just feeling lost. God, where am I going? What direction do I need to go? I just have to know in my heart God is guiding me. Anxiety starts to rise up. The enemy would love to make you anxious. Because you know what it means? You're not believing God's with you. You're actually saying you are in control. Or the situations and circumstances external to you are in control. Where you know that God is with you, you start to believe He's in control. And when anxiety rises up, fear rises up, you can say, no, my God is in control. The King is in control. He is with me every moment that I walk through. I know it's not as simple as that. It's not a quick fix. But if we can start to get that in our spirit and daily understand God is walking with me, those things will begin, I believe, to subside. Amen? In the job hunt, when we're going for business deals, health crisis, family crisis, walk with them through with Jesus. Amen? Come on, we need to journey with Him. We need to journey with Jesus. I've got two questions for you. First one is, where are you going? Second one is Jesus coming with you? Because I find that we're going places, we're going here, there, and everywhere. But is Jesus coming with us? Such a powerful thing if we take Jesus with us. The truth is, you're going on a journey, and a lot of the things we get up to are good things. I'm not saying, hey, just in the bad times, walk with God. I'm saying through every time, walk with God. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing, where are you going? And take Jesus with you. It's powerful, powerful stuff. You know, my wife, she's funny. She loves her GPS. Who else loves their GPS? Yeah, a few people here. But no matter where she's going, even if she's been there 100 times, she still puts on the GPS. We're going to the milk bar. The corner milk bar. She puts the GPS on. She goes to work, which she goes to 5 days a week. She'll tell you she puts the GPS on. She comes to church, where she comes to 250 times a year or so. She puts the GPS on. Don't believe me, ask her. I would never lie to you. She puts her GPS on. Is there anybody like that? Any other crazies? I mean, any other people out there? She puts the GPS on. Truth is, you may know where you're going, but at times you don't know the traffic. You don't know how long it's going to take you to get there. You don't know any detours that you might need to take. You don't know if there's any potholes. You don't know if there's any speed cameras. Shouldn't be speeding anyway, but it's always helpful. Are you guys getting what I'm putting down right now? The GPS is Jesus. We can know where we're going, and we can know the route, but sometimes, in fact, all times, put the GPS on. Say, God, I know where I'm going, but I'm still taking you with me. I'm still putting the GPS on because there are things you're going to come across that only Jesus knows about. There are mountains you need to climb. There are detours you need to take. There are things that Jesus can only help you with. So why not put the GPS on? See, the truth is that Jenna, my wife, she's always got the GPS there. It's always on her phone. The app never gets deleted. It's always there. But until she turns it on, it can't be of any help. And I'll tell you what, you've always got Jesus in your life. He's there. He's with you. He's ever present. But we need to actually say, God, I need direction. And so there's this moment where you step back and say, God, I'm going on this journey. And whether it's daily, twice a day, every so often, whether it's your long-term goals, your five-year plan, or whether it's just your daily plan, God, help me get through today. At the start of the day, turn your GPS on and say, God, I want to take your path for today. God, I want you to do something significant in my life today. God, if there's any detours I need to take, any conversations I need to avoid, any bad business opportunities I need to either take or decline, God, guide me like a GPS. And I tell you what, there's so much power when you just know that God is guiding you. Is there anybody that wants Jesus to guide them? Come on, I'm telling you, it's a powerful, powerful thing. When he does, there's a scripture on the screen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says this, rejoice always, but pray without ceasing. In other words, pray without stopping. This is God instructing us to pray constantly. And I say this in the most honoring way ever, but who has time to constantly pray? Is that making sense? You've got to go to work. You've got to study. You've got to get stuff done. Those lunch boxes aren't going to pack themselves. But here's the word of God telling us to pray without ceasing. But you know what this says to me? Just be in constant conversation with God. It doesn't literally mean be on one knee nonstop for the rest of your life. Have your hands tied together praying to God. This says to me, hey, whenever you feel, reach out to God. Whenever you're going through a moment, reach out to God. Whenever you want to pray, whenever you feel to pray, He's there ready to listen. Why? Because He's walking with you. All you need to do is turn to the side and say, Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Has everyone seen the movie Shrek?
Yes, I have.
We all have, one of the greatest, but there's his talking donkey that is with him nonstop, constantly talking all the time. And in the movie, Shrek's kind of annoyed about it. But the reality is that's how God wants us to work with Him. The truth is, God is not annoyed when we talk nonstop. He's happy. He's so encouraged. He's so in love. And so every moment of every day, I would hate us to be individuals where we think, hey, I have to be in a certain posture to pray, or I have to be at home to pray. No, pray without ceasing. In other words, whenever you feel the need to cry out to God, to talk to Him, you can. And that's what God wants from you. We need to be more like the talking donkey. In every moment, in every situation, whether it's out loud or in your heart, just continue to commune with God. Talk with God. Ask God to be involved. You know, we've got Wes here, right here in a red hat. Yeah, man. You know what Wes does for a living? He's a bricklayer. But I've actually seen this guy live this out. You might say bricklaying's not overly godly. I'm building brick walls. But I tell you what, he takes Jesus with him. It doesn't mean he's perfect, doesn't mean he never makes mistakes. But I know that on the job site, Jesus is with him. And every now and then, once he's finished laying, all he just says, God, thank you. He just says, God, thank you for what you're doing in my life. When you're at uni, you're studying, you're learning biology or whatever it is, you say, God, thank you for what you're doing. God, I pray for my family. God, I believe you're in my life right now. And so these moments that we're going through, whether you're delivering this, that, or the other, whatever you're doing, just be in a constant state of, God, you're with me. God, I'm talking to you. God, you are in my life. Amen. Maybe the team wants to come join me. That'd be awesome. It's powerful stuff. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. That'll be an awesome one for your screensaver if you're looking for a scripture. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. You know, the final point I would love to make as the team comes and joins me, it's a powerful one. So often we're ruled by our emotions. But you see, this scripture that I read at the start asks us to know who God is. And so there's times where we're going through life, but we say to ourselves, I actually can't feel God right now. Come on, be honest. Has anybody ever felt that? From time to time, I say, I actually don't feel like God is with me. I don't feel, Dave, I know what you're saying, but I don't feel like things are going well. I don't feel that God is walking with me. I don't feel like He's there. Can anybody relate? I don't really see Him. I can't see God. I can't touch God. I can't really feel God in my life. There are moments we go through where our emotions start to take over. And to be honest, it's the enemy trying to distance you from God. It's the enemy. You're still walking straight, but he's pushing Jesus to the side, to the point where you're not walking side by side. Our emotions start to rise up. Our feelings take control. But I want to tell you right now, and we're going to pray in a moment, that if you know in your heart of hearts that Jesus is with you, that is what is important. Amen. Our feelings can lead us one way. Our feelings can lead us another. But I tell you what, this word know, that we just know that we know that we know God is with us. And no matter what situation or circumstance, no matter the struggles, no matter how far wide we think we've gone, no matter how far we think we've walked from God, no matter the struggles that we go through, the battles that we're facing, no matter how dark the situation is, no matter how big the mountain is you think you have to climb, no matter how that makes us feel, we need to be people that know that God is with us. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I've journeyed with God and I've felt things and I've heard things from the enemy, and you know what I've just held to this whole time? Just this knowledge. But not a head knowledge, a heart knowledge. I know who my God is. And I know that He loves me. And I know that He wants to journey with me. And that I know He has a plan and a purpose for my life. And you know, as we go through these trials, these struggles, as we chase our dreams, it's that knowing in our heart that gets us there. That gets us through, that knowing that's cemented in our spirit. We know He is with us. Amen. It's powerful stuff. We got to know. And as the feelings start to rise up, you got to knock the feelings back. I might not feel you're with me, God, but I just know you're here. I know. My God is with me and He is walking with me. Amen. Awesome. Yeah, come on, give Him a shout of praise. Come on, I want to pray for some people. Maybe we can just all bow our heads right now.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.